Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Wednesday. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Halfway through the week, I know you're all very excited about the NBA Finals kicking off tonight. And I, for the first time all season, will be tuning in. Go Knicks. With that said, the Packers had open locker room availability today, and we got quotes from a bunch of different guys. Keyshawn Nixon being asked about the Bears specifically for some reason. But of course, the headline coming out of those availabilities was Micah Parsons talking about his recovery, where he is. And interestingly enough, let us know that in addition to the ACL tear that he suffered there in Denver during his repair on December 29th, I believe he said the date of the surgery was, they also did some meniscus cleanup. So that's a little bit more information than we had before. And he also talked about timelines. And I know everyone's very excited to find out when Micah Parsons will be back on the field. And he indicated the Packers have a very strict 9-month policy when it comes to guys who have had or suffered ACL injuries, especially multiple times. And everyone online kind of just lost their minds about when he might be back, when 9 months would put him pretty much where we all suspected he would be regarding probably missing that first 4-game stretch, because he'll probably be on PUP, something that he today confirmed that he expects to start the season on the physically unable to perform list. So yeah, the decent chance that he's back against the Bears, or more likely the Cowboys. Nothing earth-shattering there as far as the timeline for return goes, but man, the internet losing its collective mind at times, but it's the internet, so I guess I shouldn't be surprised. One thing I did want to talk about today, though, outside of the Parsons news and Keyshawn Nixon again being asked about the Bears for some random reason, was something that Matt LaFleur talked about at his press conference a couple days ago. Actually, it was last week, sorry. When he was asked who would be wearing the green dot on the defensive side of the ball. And he seemingly didn't hesitate and said it would be Zaire Franklin, the Packers linebacker newly acquired this offseason in a trade. And it's just an interesting kind of very niche football thing that I'm going to be fascinated to see how they work this logistically, especially on certain substitution packages and obvious passing situations when you have to think between Edgerrin Cooper and Zaire Franklin. I would suspect you'd probably have Edgerrin Cooper out there a little bit more in some of those situations. Now, Jonathan Gannon has obviously forgotten more football than I'll ever know, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And in his time as a defensive coordinator and defensive play caller, he has not been a hyper matchup guy where he is constantly making sure that he has, you know, body type mirroring what the offense is putting out there, meaning if they go heavy wide receivers, he's countering with tons of defensive backs. Now, sometimes he just goes heavy defensive back in general. I mean, especially when he was in Arizona, he utilized lots of different safety combinations and lots of different kind of defensive back combinations. And with Zaire, obviously there's a history there with he and Gannon in Indianapolis, though Gannon wasn't a play caller at that point. I wonder how much of that is driven by trust, right? And knowing at least the type of things that Gannon is looking for, scheme-wise, lineup, formation, things like that. And I do wonder if, you know, given some of the, I would think, substitution patterns, maybe there is an instance where without the green dot on the field, you are relaying calls to, say, Xavier McKinney on the downs where Zaire Franklin isn't on the field. Because I'll be very surprised if he is a 100% snap guy on the defensive side of the ball. And that's no knock on Zaire. I'm very excited to see him in a Packers uniform. But in today's NFL, and you guys know, you've seen how many different ways teams on the offensive side like to spread things out and get guys in space. And that is an area where Franklin struggled a little bit last year in Indianapolis. And perhaps there's a route that Gannon can take that kind of mitigates what it asks of Zaire Franklin in that regard, but it's certainly a component of the modern NFL game that you can't ignore. And you have to think, again, you would want the athleticism, the explosiveness that Edgerrin Cooper gives you. to, you know, utilize him a little bit in those situations. Now, who knows? Maybe they drop Coop down as an edge rusher on some of those downs and they put Zaire as the lone linebacker. We saw, you know, the reports yesterday about Coop getting some work at edge in a certain type of formation. And maybe that's the idea, right? But that will be something to watch for over the course of just, you know, obviously training camp, but then in through the season. I do wonder if maybe they start this way and then that progresses as they go right through the season. And again, it is not a knock on Franklin. It is interesting as a kind of decision right out of the gate to give him the green dot and have him with, you know, getting the calls from the defense, from whoever's going to be relaying them from the sideline, most likely Gannon, but could be somebody else. That's just something that, you know, piqued my interest a little bit. As I said, it's very niche, very inside football in this case. Something to watch for as training camp progresses, because I do think that's something that is easy to declare now, but perhaps they get into camp and preseason and they kind of find a way of working that would suggest, you know, maybe we should give it to Xavier McKinney, a guy who's probably not going to, who probably will be a 100% defensive snap guy, right? Fascinating stuff. Very interested to see how it progresses over the course of the 2026 season. Hope you all doing well. Good to see you all in the comments section. Thank you so much for joining me. Before we get going, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our friends over at Ticket King. Ticket King has been based in Wisconsin since 1992. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of these national companies. Use the company based right across from Lambeau Field. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link in the description of this video or at cheeseheadtv.com. And of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention our friends over at ThetaCare. Don't let pain sideline your golf game this season. Stop in to ThetaCare Orthopedic Walk-In Care in Appleton. Open 7 days a week. They'll help you get back in the game quickly. Learn more at ThetaCare.org. All right, folks, what's on your mind? What are people talking about? How are we doing out there? We got Abdul starting us off. How you doing, man? Hey, Aaron, is Zaire an improvement over Walker? That's going to take a while to sort out, I would suspect. I do think he can be. And again, that's kind of what I was talking about in regards to Gannon, how he utilizes him in what will be a different defense, right? A very different scheme, very different looks and what they're being asked to do. I do think Quay was better than most fans give him credit for, but we all saw the struggles in coverage in particular, right? But again, as I just mentioned at the start there, that's not an area where Franklin really shined last year. So I do think they're going to try and, quote, protect him as much as possible by what they ask him to do and what responsibilities they give him in coverage. I don't doubt for a moment that a big component of this defense is going to be what I was talking about earlier, that we saw down in Arizona, where there are a lot of different formations mixing and matching, plenty of different types of defensive backs to try to limit what they ask Zaire to do in coverage. But as far as a down in and down out linebacker in the NFL, I do think he's got plenty left to give, plenty left in the tank. And I do think he's probably going to be a bit more reliable when it comes to tackling, to not having as many missed tackles, not coming in out of control a little bit when he's asked to rush the passer, though I don't think that's going to be a huge component in his game in Green Bay. But I do think he is overall a better overall football player. Now, will he be better in Green Bay with this iteration of a scheme and teammates, whatever, what he's asked to do schematically? That remains to be seen. But I do understand Gutekunst wanting to make this move and seemingly thinking, yeah, this is probably an upgrade. Now, again, long way to go, but to my eyes, I get it. I think he's a better football player overall. We shall see. Soto, what's going on, man? Did Packers miss on Hopper's development timeline by running so many snaps with Walker? Walker was fine, but it felt like something was missing. Yeah, I don't know about the timeline because, you know, it's really impossible to say what would have happened if he had gotten out there, if he would have sank or swam, right? I will say, and I talked about this with Billy on the latest Care of the G radio that dropped earlier today, which you should check out. I do think he really looked like he was ready to play, right? Like, you know how they talk about guys, like at some point they're young and they're trying to figure it out. And maybe it takes a year or even two, but there comes a point in a young player's kind of trajectory or life or what have you, where it's very clear that he's done what he can do on the practice field. And the next step for him is to get significant playing time, to get regular snaps and reps, right? It really felt like Hopper hit that last summer, that point, that moment of, oh yeah, he's flying around, see ball, get ball, playing with a reckless abandon where he really knew the defense well and read things really well. And obviously that did not seem to be the case in the game in Minnesota in week 18 of last year, though I think there are some mitigating circumstances there. But yeah, man, I don't know if it's so much, okay, they didn't have what they needed or thought that he was ready to take over, so much that they really like Zaire. And as both Goody and Zaire himself have talked about, Gutekunst has tried to trade for Franklin before. They've loved him for a long time. So they got the opportunity to go get the player, a guy who's played a boatload of games in the NFL, had a ton of banked reps. I understand, especially in this window here, this next year, 2 year window that they're in, where it's time to make a deep run, go win a couple playoff games, if not the Super Bowl. They wanted some experience. They wanted a vet. They wanted a guy who's been there, done that, and they're not bringing him along like they would be if they had Tyron Hopper out there. Now, it's a young man's game, and I don't think we've heard the last of Hopper. I think he will be in some certain packages, be given some opportunities to earn more opportunities. That's what you hope he runs with, right? It's going to be fascinating to see how he fits into the mix. And Billy had some really good points on this as well that I won't echo here, but make sure you listen to Carry the G Radio this week, because Billy brought this up unprompted, and I thought it was some really smart stuff on his part. Badger Trio, how you doing, man? I found it odd there was no smoke. Schefter felt need to put fire out on Sweat. I don't think door is closed. What do you got against complete sentences, my man? I found out there was no smoke. Schefter felt need to put fire out. Are you talking about Rappaport? Because Rappaport was the one who slammed the door on the Josh Sweat stuff today. And as I said, you know, I know there was a lot of conjecture, a lot of guessing out there this morning in particular, because everyone thought the trade was going to happen today for some particular reason. But, you know, I saw people talking about, oh, we should ship a third. We should give a premium pick. I'm like, I think Josh Sweat is a productive player and certainly could help, but he is 29 years old and he has a knee issue that he's had pretty much his whole career that you have to very much manage as a coaching staff, etc. Ain't no way the Packers are sending a third round pick for that. I could potentially maybe see like a fifth or something like that, but yeah, I agree with you in the sense that I don't think things are totally shut down, because what does Brian always say? It's a year-long process when it comes to acquiring talent. And I do not doubt for a moment that, you know, phone lines will be open and maybe calls get made late in the summer, just before camp, something like that. But yeah, man, it's, you know, pretty definitive when Rappaport comes out and says, you know, they're not trading Josh Sweat to the Packers or anyone else. Feels pretty decided on Arizona's side, but things can change. We'll see, especially maybe get into camp and brothers start talking. Who knows? But I just think it's pretty dead right now. Let's put it that way. Uncultured, how are you, man? The Bear Stadium situation is giving me all kinds of entertainment. Maybe they should move in the middle of the night like the Colts. Damn. Anything's possible at this point. All I know is Bears fans are mad, and it's hilarious. Oh, yeah, those worthless pieces of paper. That stock, it done feel so stupid now, does it, Bears fans? Danny G, how you doing, man? Hammond Bears fans losing their minds over Caleb Williams on the Madden cover, yet their franchise is still homeless. Madden curse, Lieutenant Dan. What's up, Dan? Yeah, it was funny to see that cover drop this morning and have the Chicago skyline featured in it. I mean, that's a bold proclamation there, EA. Might have to switch it up. But hey, you know, shout out Caleb Williams on the cover of Madden. That's a big, big deal for a young man, and I'm sure he's very excited. I did find it hilarious that I believe last year he was hovering around 75 as an overall rating, and now that he's on the cover of Madden, he's magically been bumped up to 90 overall. Okay, all right. I see you, EA. It's going to make it really annoying to play any Bears fan online. That is for damn sure. But as I said to Billy, I'm very happy that we live now in this age of downloads where I don't have to buy a physical product with Caleb Williams on the cover, right? I don't have to have that in my home. I don't have to worry about it ever. Now, I know every time I turn on the game, they're going to have his face and they're probably going to have highlights of him against the Packers, and got to deal with that. I understand. But the greatest revenge will be beating Bears fans online repeatedly all year long. And hey, maybe Bears fans will actually play with their team now. So funny. Like, you see tons of dudes online playing with, like, the Ravens. You get a ton of 49ers. I got tons of people who aren't Eagles fans playing with the Eagles. Like, okay, fine. Every once in a blue moon, I get matched up with a Bears fan. But it's very, very rare. So maybe, hey, Bears fans, come out of the woodwork now. You're all puffing your chest and talking about how you're back. Now your dude's on the cover of Madden. Come on now. Bring it. Let's go. No need to be shy anymore. Joe, how are you, sir? For what it's worth, Franklin played 96%, 100%, 99%, and 100% of the snaps last 4 years for the Colts. So maybe they move Cooper to edge or on some passing downs, which is what I talked about in the opener. And that's the Colts. This is the Packers. They didn't have an Adrian Cooper sitting there the way the Packers do. A guy entering year three, up-and-coming stud. I'm just saying. I mean, yes, he's an every-down backer. No question about it. But I do think, in Green Bay, given their situation and their personnel, hard to see him as a 100% guy. Now, it depends on, obviously, the opposing offense and the style they run and what they like to do to attack defenses and things like that. I do think there'll be plenty of opportunity for him, clearly. But, yeah, 100%. It'll be interesting. It'll be very interesting. Luke, how are you, buddy? Good to see you. I really appreciated your interview with Schneidman. I like his addition to the beat. I do too. And he's been here long enough now where he's really, you know, fit in very nicely and knows the ropes and has a good handle on the team. It's not easy to come into this beat and kind of just hit the ground running as you've been covering another team or other teams. I think Matt's done a great job getting his bearings and really understanding what Packers fans are interested in. I do think I love his pairing with John Kuhn on their podcast. I think that's, you know, really taking off for good reason. I think they do a really good job with it. So, yeah, I just thought it'd be good to talk to Matt, and I'll probably have him on periodically throughout the season. It's going to be a good time. Thanks for checking it out, Luke. Jeezy Baby, how you doing? In Rodgers' fourth season, he took a huge leap, won the MVP, and solidified himself as the top QB. Can we expect to see that jump from Love this year? It's never linear. Don't expect him to be anything like Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre or anyone else. Now, I get what you're saying, like, as far as career progression, and I have talked quite a bit about it this offseason regarding he is now entering his prime, right? And he has improved every year as a starter. And if he continues to do that and takes another step, he could have that type of year, no question about it. But, you know, I'm not going to sit here and put a fine point on it. Like, he's going to do this or he has to do that. Like, he's going to probably most likely continue to improve. And that's a scary proposition for the rest of the league. But yeah, is it going to be like Aaron Rodgers? No, because he's not Aaron and he doesn't need to be. He just needs to keep getting better as Jordan Love. And I mean, what he did last year was pretty damn impressive. And he just builds on that. He's going to be in a really good spot, and the Packers are going to win a boatload of football games. That's all that matters. Mario, this is the million-dollar question. Should we expect the offense to be more pass-heavy now or not much change? I want to say a tad. I want to say yes a little bit. But I've watched Matt LaFleur for 7 years, and I don't know, man. I don't see Matt LaFleur ever really going pass happy, right? I do think there's a potential for him to lean into Jordan a little bit more and possibly give Jordan a little bit more, I don't even say leeway, because I think Jordan has a lot on his plate already as a quarterback and everything he's asked to do at the line of scrimmage and reading defenses and all that. But I do hope that Matt leans into the fact that he's got one of the better quarterbacks in the league a little bit more this year. You know, there were times last season where it did feel like, hey, Matt, you know the forward pass has been invented, right? And look, I think Matt has forgotten more football than a lot of people in the league will ever know. And I'm not talking about like me, content creators, whatever, or media people. Like, this guy eats, sleeps, breathes football in a way that is alarming at times, but certainly he knows everything there is to know about the game. And the way he puts together his game plans and designs his offense is at one of the highest levels in the league. And I understand the misgivings and some of the issues people have with some play calls or situational stuff. And certainly you need improvement there, no doubt about it. But man, just when you get a chance this season, you know, after a Packers game, go and watch a, you know, Browns game or a Jets game, or even, you know, some of the playoff teams. Like, man, we get spoiled in Green Bay. We have been spoiled in Green Bay. You know, going from Holmgren, yes, even to Sherman, that 2003 offense was no fucking joke, I'll tell you that, to Mike McCarthy and what he did with Brett and then with Aaron. Now to go from all that to Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love, we are spoiled at the level of offense we have got to. We've been given the gift to enjoy in Green Bay for 30 plus years, right? Again, I get there are moments and play calls that you just make you want to throw yourself out a window. Certainly been there, right? But when you pull back and you look at the league, Matt's doing it at the highest level. And I do think, given what he's talked about this offseason regarding stripping it down, taking a look at what's working, look at tendencies that perhaps they've leaned into that haven't been productive, things they thought worked really well that really didn't, etc. I have to think they come to the conclusion, yeah, we need to start leaning into Jordan Love a little bit more, giving him a little bit more kind of rope as far as, all right, go, buddy, go run the offense a little bit. Have a couple drives where you're calling the 2 minute, you know, doing hurry up stuff where we're not substituting on every single play, like just little things. And it's not, I'm not talking about a dramatic shift, just a little bit more Jordan. Here's hoping. Here is hoping. Soto, what's going on, man? When the Bears finally move to Indiana, I want billboards up in Chicago that have a Packer helmet on it says Chicago's team. Could you imagine? Hey, that's not a bad idea. I think you just found the next Cheesehead TV project. I'm all in on this idea. This is better than hacking the horn. I love it. Let's do it. Abdul, thanks again, buddy. What was the worst played Packers game you've ever seen where it looked like they never got off the bus? Mine is the San Francisco Kaepernick playoff game. What? This is my point. Talk about entitled town. Do you remember how good they were on defense at times that season? And then they get to that game and they probably win it if Micah Hyde just hangs on to the interception that was in his hands. Not even close to the worst game ever played that I've seen with my own two eyes. That doesn't even crack the top 5,000. Oh my God. Does the name TJ Rubley mean anything to you? I'll tell you what. Okay, let's go with a game that meant something. And it wasn't TJ Rubley. It was the starter was out. Brett Favre was out there, right? The game in Chicago where it was insanely windy and cold, and it was very clear. I cannot remember the exact year, but it was late in the season, and McCarthy, despite the fact that it's frozen solid and the wind is whipping and there's like sleet, frozen rain in these guys' faces, blah, 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 Mike is still trotting out like spread formations. They're still running five wide spread empty and asking Brett to drop back and throw the ball like multiple times. That was the most miserable experience I've ever seen from a Packers team, and the most obvious case of a team not getting off the bus because they didn't want anything to do with that weather. And Brett himself looked absolutely miserable, old and cold. You talk about a not get off the bus game, that was it. The Kaepernick game, at least that was competitive. I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, I guess you could make a case that, you know, there were early games. What was that, 2016? What ended up as the run the table game? Like the Colts game in 2016 at Lambeau. I mean, that looked like they didn't get off the bus, but they were at home, so they didn't have a bus to get off of. Yeah, that one was pretty terrible. I will say, I get maybe saying the Kaepernick game in San Francisco, but, you know, that's on the defense, which wasn't great, but the offense moved the ball in that game. They scored points, right? They just couldn't stop a nosebleed. But again, that's at least watchable because they can operate on offense. That Bears game at Soldier Field in the hellacious cold, wind, rain, whatever, that's the worst. That was the worst didn't get off the bus game I've ever seen. And honestly, somewhat understandable given the situation. Mario, what's up, man? Jordan Love is still very, very good QB. You don't see the reason why people think otherwise. We talk about this quite a bit. You know, mostly people trying to confirm priors and not allowing actual evidence like film or, you know, even advanced metrics or anything that's presented to them to sway their opinion because they've already entrenched their opinion in whatever it was when Jordan was coming out in the draft or that first kind of four or five games when he started and was a turnover machine and people just, oh, see, I told you. And they stopped paying attention after that, right? That's a lot of it, right? Popeye's beef. What's going on, man? Good day, all. Sounds like I'm headed to the Saints game and the last like to plan. Is there somewhere I can view the Cheesehead TV Saints game hangout plans? There are no plans as of yet, sir, but there will be. When they materialize, trust me, I will have them here on the chat. I will post them on CheeseheadTV.com. They will be all over Cheesehead TV social media. So patience. Patience. There will be an event, a meetup the night before the game, downtown in New Orleans. TBD. Watch this space. Will Collins, how are you, man? Say what you want about K-9. Watching his interview today, gotta love his mindset. Yeah, it really felt like he was biting his tongue a little bit, which I appreciate. I don't know, man. That was just weird. Like, I get, I guess, asking him about the Bears once. But, man, they were just peppering him with Bears questions. And I understand he's been chirping with the Bears players for a couple years now, so maybe he's the de facto spokesperson when it comes to the Bears in the locker room. But, yeah, I don't know, man. It just felt like overkill. But I thought, like I said, I thought he handled it well. No doubt about it. Abdul, how are you, man? Josh Jacobs isn't suspended by the start of training camp. Does that mean he's in the clear the rest of the season and that he'll play the whole season? Abdul, most likely. Never say anything definitive when it comes to the NFL and its many Byzantine policies, but most likely, yes. Now, new evidence comes to light. Another incident happens. Anything can happen. So you can't ever say, you know, okay, it's done, right? But yeah, most likely if we go through the summer and there are no updates, obviously I talked about this the other day, if there's some kind of reporting around, I don't know if the DA would announce it, probably would because of the high profile nature, but if they close the case, right, and choose not to press charges and close it, if that were to occur, obviously then all eyes turn to the NFL because then it would be, you know, pretty much in their court as far as what they wanted to do with the personal conduct policy. I would suspect probably Josh would be in the clear for 2026. Now, the NFL wheels of justice turn slowly. Who knows what might happen next year, but I would suspect, yeah, that would be the end of it for 2026. But we got a ways to go. Soda, what's going on, man? Fix the red zone by any means necessary. Really should be the primary goal in 2026. Still, throw the damn ball. You ain't lying, brother. We all know that is the big component that really hurt them last year throughout much of the season. And what's really frustrating is how well they seem to crack that code against the Bears in that playoff game. You know, they really did a good job in the red zone in that game. And then it all fell apart. But yeah, that's a big component and a big part of the offense that needs to be better. But I've talked about this. You know what I'm going to say. If they get better play up front, it not only unlocks that, it unlocks the whole offense. They have to be better along the offensive line. And if they are, that will produce results in the red zone, regardless of what their approach is, whether they want to use Josh Jacobs as a battering ram, whether they want Jordan Love throwing it all over the yard down there, whatever they choose to do, they've number one, got to be better up front. And if they are, the results will follow. So all this lousy game chat is feeding my inner Eeyore. I have the power. You ain't got nothing, man. Bobby, thanks for the super sticker. Appreciate you, man. We got going. We got weird kids. What's going on, man? What's up, Brosif? Stoke Zaire gets the mic. Can't wait to see Cisse and St. Juiced get K9 and Valentine off the hell off the field. I believe you mean there it is field. Hopefully the dead zone goes fast. Oh, dude, right? Although, you know, you blink and it's going to be training camp time. I mean, we're already, what, you know, first week of June? And it's going to take long. We're going to be at camp, and I cannot wait. As far as Cisse and St. Juiced, I think, you know, there's a decent chance one of them beats out Valentine by the end of camp. I think Keyshawn's going to be your starter for a bit yet. I don't think that's going away anytime soon. We'll see. Lots can happen over the course of a training camp, but I suspect Keyshawn's going to be your starter week one. We will see how it transpires over the course of the summer. No doubt about it. All right, everybody, I got to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.